the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Hear us who might deceive us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, I have to admit, I thought it when the Supreme Court last week struck down a Texas abortion law that simply wanted Texas abortion clinics to meet the same standards that medical clinics do in the state of Texas. They struck it down. It was not surprising. I think probably Anthony Kennedy had as much to do with that decision as any other lately, since he is essentially the Supreme Court in most cases. But I did think for a moment, you know, three of those votes against that Texas abortion law came from female justices, came from women. Now, it made me wonder if we had different women, or if it had been men, would we have the same decision? Now, some people that would say that was a very misogynistic thing to think. And of course, men wouldn't be qualified, would they, to make decisions about women's quote-unquote reproductive health on the Supreme Court. But they're happy to take their votes if they're willing to vote with the majority there. We're going to be talking about that decision and this female Supreme Court justices. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse joins us. She's founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. And she's author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me on.
What do Justices Ginsburg, Kagan, and Sotomayor have in common?
Well, besides the fact that they're all women, they are all women of the elite classes who really don't know very much about the lives of ordinary women who are trying to have kids, take care of their kids, and keep a marriage together for a lifetime.
So what does that say when what we hear, at least in terms of kind of the spin on the decision from the Supreme Court last week, was this was a victory for every woman. This was a victory for American women of all shapes and sizes.
Well, I don't agree with that. I mean, I think there is no war against women. I think there's a war among women, and women who want to stay home with their babies, who want to be able to rely on their husbands to take care of them, those women have known from the beginning that the so-called feminist movement was directed against them. So, if you remember back there in your home turf there of Missouri and the Midwest, Phyllis Schlafly defeated the Equal Rights Amendment, and she did it with housewives. She did it with women. Women came out to say, we don't want what you're trying to create through the Equal Rights Amendment. Well, it turns out pretty much everything the Equal Rights Amendment would have done has been done through the courts, you know. But from the very beginning, it has been a war of the elite woman versus every woman. And every woman, in my way of thinking, is the woman who is not looking at a career, who doesn't have a high-status job to compensate her for giving up childbearing. She's a woman who wants her babies more than she wants her career. And she's the woman who wants her husband to stay and be committed to her and married to her and raise their children together. That, I think, represents the aspirations of far more women than the aspirations of the handful of women who think, well, I'm going to be CEO of a big corporation or I'm going to be on the U.S. Supreme Court. The vast majority of people aren't going to have those types of jobs.
Two of the justices, Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor, are childless. What does that mean?
That's right. That's right. And I think that's a very interesting thing, and I think women should pay attention to that. We have childless women basically making rules that affect everybody in the whole society. So if we wanted to create a society that had cultural structures and institutional support for people getting married, staying married, and taking good care of their children at a personal level, not institutional care, but personal care of their own children, childless women don't necessarily know what that's all about. I hesitate to make too broad of a generalization here because I know plenty of childless women who would prefer to have kids and who haven't been able to have kids. I know childless women who are religious nuns and who have vows of celibacy, and so therefore they're not physically mothers. But the fact is, the kind of childless woman who gets on the Supreme Court is the kind of childless woman who is just not too tuned in to what it takes to raise a family. And so that's the kind of person that is overrepresented in the decision-making and rule-making parts of our culture. That's who's making the rules for everybody. It's no wonder average people, middle-class people, poor people are struggling to keep their families together and to keep food on the table. People making rules have no idea what their lives are like.
Is childlessness or delayed childbearing, in the case of women,
yes.
is it in fact the ticket or at least the prerequisite to the professional classes?
Do you know what? You should ask that question. Get a group of law school students, Todd. Get a room of 100 women in law school, and you ask them, is delayed childbearing necessary for you to achieve your aspirations? And they will all look at you like you've lost your mind. Their answer will be, of course it is, you idiot. Of course. If we're going to finish law school, if we're going to make partner in the law firm, we have to put off having children until we have all that done. And once we've made partner in the big law firm or we've gotten tenure at a big university, then and only then can we think about having kids. I think most college women today, most professional class women today, understand perfectly well that delayed childbearing is a key. It's the entry fee for entering into the professions in this culture. And that's why we're in this kind of distorted place that we are, Todd, where the people making the rules are not the people who are also having kids.
Before we let you go, tell us, you speak from experience here, because you actually left a tenured position in education back in 1996.
That's right. My friends, some of my friends, kind of whispered behind my back that I'd lost my mind. And a few of my friends told me that I was a countercultural radical, because people don't leave tenured positions. But I really felt that I had to because of the needs of my children and my family, And I've never regretted it for a moment, So it's not like I'm complaining that I don't have a job at the Supreme Court or I'm not running for president. I'm not complaining about that. I made decisions. I made choices. They have a certain price tag attached to them. And I can live with that. What I don't think I can live with, and I don't think our culture can live with, Todd, our culture cannot live with the idea that the only people who get the opportunity to make the rules that everybody's going to live by, that those are people who had their first child at 35 or 40. Those people don't know what it's like for everybody else. And I think that is putting us all in a jam.
There's one other subject that I wanted you to address here in the few minutes that are left to us, and that is you've written recently about Cardinal Marx, cardinal in Germany, calling
yes.
for Catholics to apologize to homosexuals. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, my goodness. That guy, when he came out with that, I looked at that, and I couldn't believe I was seeing this. I mean, I could believe it because that he seems to be obsessed with things that have to do with homosexuality, but now, the Ruth Institute created a petition to him, basically, we're going to send him a letter in a few weeks, basically saying, please, we don't need to apologize to homosexuals. We need to apologize. If we're going to apologize to them, we need to apologize them for not telling them the whole truth about what the homosexual lifestyle turns out to entail. And that Jesus wants what's best for them, just like he wants what's best for you and me and everyone. Jesus didn't make up rules to be mean to us. He made up rules of sexual continence and self-control because it'd be good for us and for the people around us. So for Cardinal Marx to be saying, we've been too mean to homosexuals, that's just all we're doing is sticking to the doctrine that has been the unbroken doctrine of the church, of all Christian churches from time out of mind, Todd, And so I just think he's way out of line coming out with this.
Folks, you will find a link to the petition that Jennifer mentioned and to the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest.
You're very welcome.
When we come back, we're going to continue our weekly series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. Dr. Ken Sherb will be our guest. We're going to take up the subject of Luther as preacher. Preaching really mattered to Luther. He did it a lot, and his preaching, his sermons, may not be exactly what you would expect if you were comparing them to Lutheran preaching today. Dr. Ken Sherb will explain all that right after this.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Are you interested in Lutheran education? Join the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education at a unique conference, July 19 through 21, 2016, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Speakers include the Reverend Dr. Scott Ashman, Dr. Angus Manouge, Dr. Jean Edward Veith, the Reverend Dr. Thomas Korchak. Visit ccle.org for more information. That's ccle.org.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Tired of hearing about what you have to do for God? Then come hear what He has done for you. Receive His gifts of life and salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. If you think big screens belong in movie theaters, then you'll be right at home at Faith Lutheran Church in Beaufort, South Carolina. God's powerful, saving word needs no gimmicks, so we simply teach the word of God and administer His sacraments. We plant and water while God gives the growth. Faith Lutheran Church of Beaufort, South Carolina, where the Bible is still the word of God and where we still speak the historic Christian liturgy. This is your grandfather's church. Come home.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.